Ryan wondered again whether it was possible that someone in the Deathlands had mastered the arcane skill of creating working androids.
Go into doors numbered 5 through 10. Take off all weapons and clothes. Wash and put on fresh clothes. Wait there for orders.
The lack of any human inflection was disquieting. So was the idea of giving up all their weapons. Several of them, notably JB and Jack, had blades and even some residual pieces of Plasex hidden in their coats.
Excuse me, why can't we keep our own clothes?
The apparent leader of the Sec Patrol stood as though locked in silent communion with himself, the strip lights along the ceiling reflecting in his visor. Ryan noticed the many small remote vid cameras that were set high in corners of the corridor and over doorways, constantly blinking on and off, moving ceaselessly, like some hydra-headed techno-beast.
I asked why...
Interdict.
What?
Negative. Request refused. Comply now.
As though a single brain were controlling them all, the Sec Guards raised the muzzles of their unusual blasters.
Fine. We're doing it. What do we do after the shower and change of clothes?
The mirrored plastic turned in his direction. Once more, there was the curious delay, and Ryan imagined he could hear minute cogs and wheels whirring and connecting somewhere inside the helmet.
Compliance positive. Then wait in numbered rooms for further orders.
Let's do it, people.
Ryan led the way toward the door marked with a neat black 5. He could feel his body tense as he thought about what might lie behind it. In the neat cubicle, the omnipresent vid focused on him as he laid his range of weapons on a square white table. The H&K G-12, the Sig Sauer pistol, the steel panga with the gleaming 18-inch blade, and finally a small dagger. His coat held plastic explosive, primers, and detonators, but he laid it on the table with everything else.
Concealment of any weapon will be regarded as treason against the Wizard Island Complex for scientific advancement, and a mandatory termination will result.
Ryan began to strip, placing his boots, socks, pants, and shirt on a bench that ran down one side of the 8-foot-long cubicle. But he kept his white scarf to one side. Very casually, he put the scarf on top of a pile of dark blue coveralls, which had the monogram WICSA sewn on the left breast. On the wall, the vid camera watched him with a blank, glassy stare. There was no comment from the tiny speaker below it, so Ryan guessed that keeping his scarf might work.
Go through the sliding door into the sanitary and hygiene facility, which is completely private. After your shower, please pass through the body scanner built into the doorway. You are warned not to attempt to conceal any item in mouth, armpit, ears, vagina, or rectal orifice.
Ryan tried to think of some snappy reply, but decided silence was probably safest. He pushed open the door and found himself in a shower stall, 4 feet across, with a chrome drain set in the floor. There was a circular control for the power and temperature of the water and a vent in the ceiling. He remembered the ravings of Doc Tanner and peered up at the meshed hole, wondering if some toxic gas would be pumped through to asphyxiate him.
They'd have chilled us with their blasters. They wouldn't have bothered with this devious scheme.
He reached out and turned the handle.
Ah!
Steaming water gushed out. He had one of the best washes he'd had in a long time. The supply of water was endless, controlled to the most subtle degree by the metal handle. A trim rectangular dish held 2 kinds of soap, each with a rich scent of summer flowers. When he finally came out, Ryan saw a pair of fluffy linen towels draped over the table where his weapons had been. His clothes were also gone. But the long white scarf remained on top of the newly supplied coveralls, apparently left by an oversight. It was the first scintilla of hope that the Baron who ran this ultra-sophisticated ville might be fallible after all.
What's happened to our blasters and clothes and all that fucking stuff?
Finnegan waved an angry finger at the apparent sec leader.
All stored main entrance gate. Will be returned if... when you leave complex.
Christie turned to Ryan at the long delay between if and when, but he simply raised an eyebrow and shook his head.
When do we get to meet the people who run this institution?
Doc's damp gray hair was pasted flat to his long skull, making him look like an unusually intelligent goat.
Induction from Human Resources Section Wizard Island. Soon.
The 7 of them, in their snug-fitting coveralls and white sneakers, were led along more corridors and past more prying vid cameras. Ryan had tucked his scarf carefully into the neck of the coveralls so that it didn't show.
Them fucking blasters can sting you.
Finnegan raised his sleeve to reveal a nasty burn, like a red zigzag across his forearm.
Just tried to keep a fucking blade behind, and one of them saw it. Said it was a warning, and next time it'd be for keeps.
That the worst they can set them on?
No. Looked at that dial on the butt. Bastard had it set at 2. Scale goes up to 20.
As they continued walking, Ryan got the impression that the building rambled over a vast area beneath the surface of Crater Lake. It was decidedly functional in design, with raw concrete, weeping a little from the damp, lining all the walls.
Stop here.
Ryan noticed another body scanner was built into the trim doorway ahead. He reached up casually and tucked his hands inside his coveralls, as if they were chilly, then grabbed the metal weights at each end of the silk scarf and folded his fingers around them, hoping that it might just be enough to mask them from the detectors.
Induction will follow food. Through this door is non-sec area. Go in peace, and have a nice day.
None of the guards followed them through. The door swung gently shut behind them, and they stood gasping, finding themselves in a totally different world from the harsh cubism of the concrete. Here there were pastel wall hangings and soft carpets of non-static acrylics, and music played from concealed speakers. The lighting was muted, with pink and cream shades over the naked bulbs. Several doors, all closed, were covered in teak veneer, and the voice that came floating to their ears was totally different from the artificial speech of the muted guards.
Welcome, Outworlders, to Wizard Island. Induction will follow shortly after you have been fed in the eatery in room 18 to your left. For now, welcome from everyone here on Wizard Island. All of your questions will be answered, just as we hope you will cooperate with our own interrogation.
Ryan wasn't sure he liked the sound of the word interrogation. He'd been interrogated before and had never found it much of a pleasure. It was always associated in his mind with broken fingernails, drilled teeth, and electric terminals attached to genitals.
Fed! Now you're talking! Come on!
Finnegan moved briskly along, checking the numbers of the rooms. Doc and Lori followed, then JB, while Jack walked with Ryan and Christy at the rear.
Don't like it. Bad taste. Bad air.
Seems fine.
No, lover. The kid's right. If I ever met somewhere to take care, it's here. Gives me the creeping.
Here's 18.
Enjoy your nourishment. Here on Wizard Island, it is always the present. But we are also our own past, and we shall soon be the future.
Ryan thought the voice sounded like an extremely reasonable and balanced lunatic. Christy Roth pulled a face, spat the first mouthful of food back on the cream plastic plate, and dropped the cream plastic spoon alongside it.
Oh, by Gaia! That's the worst food I ever tasted. Grade Alpha Muti Drek, it's...
Words failed her, and she sat in silence, looking at the small pile of light brown goo that rested smugly in the center of the plate.
It even looks like shit.
JB pushed his plate away. Jack Lauren, on the other hand, savored the food.
Had worse. Ate a cottonmouth once. Been dead weeks. Melted in mouth, like jelly. Some bits like rice. Maggots.
He grinned and took another spoonful of the soft mix on his plate. Doc Tanner cautiously dipped the end of his spoon into the substance. Raising it to his lips, his tongue flicked like a sun-warmed lizard's.
I swear that it puts me in mind of... Of what? Ah, I believe I have it.
He sucked in his lined cheeks like a wine taster.
Yes, the pap they used to call microwave dinners. Bland, and yet with an awful lingering aftertaste. Loaded with vitamins and preservatives.
Mmm, I like the flavor of some addies. There's some in this fucking stuff I never tried.
Anyone who has 2 bites of this must be a glutton, my dear Finnegan. When they first began to mix chems in with good food to try to maintain it longer, they found one odd side effect.
What was that, Doc?
It did not simply keep food longer. It also made human corpses last longer without decomposing. Morticians were the great beneficiaries of it.
Ew, horrid!
Lori, following Christy's example, spat her mouthful back on the plate.
How about you, Ryan?
Ryan sniffed at the food, trying to decide what might be in it. One thing was certain, there was nothing in the mixture that had ever lived, nothing that was either animal or vegetable. But there was a whole lot that was mineral in it. In some places in the Deathlands, the main source of food was chemicals, processed, colored, and flavored, to make them smell like normal food. He spooned up a little, transferring it to his mouth and rolling it around his palate. The others were right. It was dreadful. A horrid mingling of dull and sharp flavors, overlaid with a bitter aftertaste.
I guess the folks that run Missville must eat this as well. They seem to do fine on it. Guess we ought to try and finish it up.
Finnegan was the only one who seemed to actually relish the pallid sludge as he wiped his plate and slurped from the plastic beaker of water.
Hey, at least the drink's fucking good. Clean and fresh as Sierra Meltwater.
Probably what it is.
Oh, Jesus, what now? They just won't let a man enjoy a good meal.
Now that nourishment has taken place, you will be taken to induction. Do not attempt to move within the complex here without orders. Security operatives are waiting outside the door to escort you. Go now.
Here it comes. Yeah, Jack, laugh all you want, but my fucking guts aren't used to such rich food.
When they got outside the room, they found 18 black uniformed sec guards, each one holding a gun at the hip. The helmets were still in place, the visors locked down over their eyes. Ryan began to wonder whether these muties actually had normal eyes, or whether they'd been surgically replaced with compvid scanners. He'd once heard of it being done with guard dogs. And if it could be done with hounds, then why not with muties?
Induction with complex leader is now. All follow. Talk is allowed here.
It was either the same sec man with the scarlet flash on the helmet, or another man, absolutely identical. Ryan studied them, watching their peculiar halting gait. Six walked at the front in three columns of two, with six more at the rear. The other six kept pace with the prisoners, three on each side. Ryan came up beside Doc Tanner, gesturing for Lori to walk with Christy. It was strange that they had been in the huge building for well over an hour, and still hadn't seen an actual person.
You sure this isn't a redoubt like some of the others, Doc?
Still functioning? After nearly 100 years, Ryan? You visited a lot of these places, have you not? Ever seen any that showed life?
Sure. One up in the Rockies had a nest of stickies in it. But I know what you're getting at. So who runs this?
Some big wheel baron. To hold this together for a century means a kind of power I didn't believe could have existed.
There was an immortal comic hero called Superman, wasn't there?
Clark Kent. Lived in Gotham City. Or was it Metropolis? I remember him. A fighter for justice.
The old man grinned.
You think that Superman still lives and runs this place? Well, you shall soon see, Ryan. For unless I miss my guess, I believe I can make out a sign on yonder door that reads Induction, does it not?
It does, Doc. It does.
Sit down. One to each desk and wait. The complex leader will be here soon. Stand in the presence of the complex leader.
All the guards had waited outside, stopping and standing quite still, like children's toys discarded suddenly in mid-game. The room they were in was stepped like a theater. It contained at least 100 desks, each with a pen and a notepad. Ryan and his six companions took the entire front row.
Stand now for the leader!
Here comes Superman.
Lights dimmed, then flickered and flared brighter. A door began to slowly open, and Ryan signaled to the others to stand, pushing back his chair, the legs scraping along the floor.
The leader of the Wizard Island Complex for Scientific Advancement!
Holy fuck!
The leader was barely 4 feet tall. A pudgy, dumpy little woman, she had pink jowls of fat, like the dewlaps on a bloodhound, dangling on her shoulders. She was wearing a fawn-colored lab coat buttoned up to her throat. Immensely thick spectacles.